Sony rolled out their new game console, the PS4, this week, or more accurately, they had demos of cool new games that can be played on the PS4. I understand the actual box was nowhere to be seen, nor was the price. The latest generation Nintendo console, the Wii, has been on the market for a few months, and Microsoft's due to come out with their new Xbox soon. Games that are produced by all three for these game consoles cost tens of millions of dollars to create, but they can make as much money as a blockbuster movie. Some of the top game companies are here in Washington State. But game consoles, are they as relevant to gamers today? Joining us to talk about it is Ken Rufo. Ken teaches courses in digital media and gaming for the University of Washington's Communication Leadership Program. He's also a consultant with Extreme Arts and Sciences, a digital strategy firm in Seattle, and I've had the pleasure of taking one of his classes. Ken, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely.
So do consoles matter anymore with so many people playing games on casual games on phones and other devices?
They do. I mean, they still matter a lot. The casual games, very few of them make the kind of money that the big blockbuster console games make. And the reality is, as great as a lot of the casual games are on mobile devices, you just have really limited input, which means that the level of complexity of a game is going to be structurally limited. You know, you're going to get a lot of, like, angling and moving and shaking and one or two fingers swiping or tapping. But, you know, as daunting as it can be to use a 13-button, a 17-button controller, the reality is for certain games, if you want to have a complex input scheme and create a complex playing experience as a result, you need to have that level of complexity at input level. It's not a processing question per se, although obviously the consoles right now can process a lot more than the handheld devices or a tablet. It's really a question of how it is that you design the game at a mechanics level.
And I've read that the first of these consoles out of the chute, the Nintendo Wii, has not been selling as well as expected. What does that suggest for the success or failure of the PS4 or the next generation Xbox when it comes out?
It's a good, you know, I suspect it doesn't really suggest anything. Nintendo has had a couple of cycles now, first with the GameCube and then with the Wii, where they created a certain reputation for themselves as being a console for a particular type of gamer. And when the technology for the Wii basically got duplicated by the Sony Move and the Xbox Kinect, we had a situation where a lot of the kind of like core unique features that Nintendo was bringing to the table were duplicated by consoles that also had more advanced graphics processing power, that had a larger library of third-party games. I mean, Nintendo did very well for a very long time selling primary party games, but not so well getting third parties to create games for them. Sony, by contrast, has a nice, rich library. They've really doubled down on a lot of the technology. I mean, I think they said the word PC. I mean, I lost track of the count at one point. It's very clear they're positioning this as the console that's most like a PC, that's most capable of producing the hardest of hardcore graphics. And I suspect there's still a big market for people who want that kind of processing power in their living room hooked up to their nice plasma television.
Well, there's the games, but consoles are becoming more than just gaming. They're kind of becoming the center of your living room entertainment system. Is that becoming more and more the reason that people buy them?
Yeah, that's a good question, too. I suspect that there are some people who buy them. I suspect that it's also a nice negotiation. There are individuals, say, in any family who want the idea that they can play these nice big games on a nice big television, and there are some folks who maybe don't want their television set to be dominated by one of these devices, and having all the different media functions allows someone like Sony or someone like Xbox or even someone like Nintendo to kind of own the living room space at a certain level, so that rather than own, say, a gaming console and a Roku box or a cable box, you can have all of that running through one of the gaming consoles. So I think in some ways it's just one of the situations where the lone box that does many of those things very well is better than having three or four boxes, even if those boxes do the task maybe individually better. I think it's also a situation where the larger ecosystem, in terms of how it is that these organizations cross-pollinate with branding and advertising, works better if they are providing a variety of different services. So the living room thing just provides multiple revenue streams for someone like Sony or Microsoft.
Ken Rufo, thank you so much for your time.
Sure.
Ken Rufo teaches digital media and gaming for the University of Washington's Communication Leadership Program.